we'll read our first scripture from Matthew, and then we'll have another one from John, I believe. Matthew, I'm going to talk to you this morning. I'm trying to get a Mother's Day message that's a little bit different. So I'm talking to you this morning on Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had to be the perfect mother. And in Matthew chapter 1, let's read verse number 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And look at verse 21, and she brought forth and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Turn over in your Bibles to John, be chapter number 19, where Jesus is on the cross. Jesus Christ is on the cross, and let's read a couple of verses there. His mother is standing there. Look in verse number 25. John chapter 19 and verse number 25. And it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Verse 27, Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." That's Jesus making provision for his mother, for he's about to die on the cross there. So John became her son, and she became like his mother. So he's making provision for his mother while he's on the cross. He's making provision for things. So anyway, let's pray. Father, come to thy throne of grace. God, we count it a privilege to come to church to assemble with your people today. God, what a privilege and a blessing it is to be able to say something from the Word of God. I pray you to help me. I pray it be a blessing to your people today. I pray the Spirit of God would help us, enlighten us, God, and fill me. And I pray that you'll quicken my mind and help me to think clearly and say what I ought to say and forget what I don't need to say. So please help me and bless your people, I pray, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Even though I'm talking this morning about Mother's Day, it may not be a salvation message. If you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know if you died where you would go. That song a while ago said that Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And it is such an awesome thing that, like that song says, sometime I can scarcely take it in. Some of the other songs that we sang this morning, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could have eternal life, so that you could live forever, so that when you leave this world, you can go and be with God forever. That's what he wants. He does not wish for anyone to perish, but many people will perish. They will perish in hell. They will go there immediately. There is no such place as purgatory. You can't go any place else and get fixed up. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior in this life, because after you die, you cannot make any more decisions after that. You have to make it now in this life, whenever you hear, whenever you have the opportunity. Jesus Christ paid already. He suffered on the cross for your sins so that you would not have to suffer. But if you choose to pay for your own sins, then the only way to do that is by going to hell and suffering for an eternity, because we have offended, we have sinned against an eternal God. And that's the only way that you can pay for your sins. You don't need to pay for your sins. If you'll take Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about a church. Forget all that kind of stuff. Forget about a church. Forget about the sacraments. Forget about all those religious activities. Forget about those things. It's just one thing. It's just a person. That person is Jesus Christ. If you'll believe on him, if you'll accept him as your Savior, he'll give you eternal life. It's called in the Bible the gift of God. It's free to you. but it cost God a great deal. Today's Mother's Day. I say all you ladies, happy Mother's Day. I had a good mother. She never did weigh over more than 100 pounds, I don't think. But she did a lot of work. She did a mountain of work in her life. She was sick a lot. She had Crohn's disease, but she never complained a lot. My wife had a good mother too. Hattie Effie Bailey. I know my wife misses her mother. Her mother had a profession. Her profession was being a mother. That's what her profession was. Her lifelong profession was being a mother. And I believe that being a mother is a high calling of God to be a mother. My wife has always been a wonderful mother. That has also been her profession for just about all of her life. And so happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I believe she probably had to be the perfect mother for our Lord Jesus Christ. If we read there in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, his mother, Mary. Mary, Jesus, you may not know this, but Jesus Christ never called his mother, his mother, mother. He never called her. He's called her woman. That's what he said. Mary, among the religions of the world, there are a lot of things said about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they're not all true. Just because she happens to be the mother of Jesus, people have made up things in an effort to make their religion legitimate. They have made up things that may be a little bit mysterious and things like that, you know, to make their religion legitimate. You don't need those kind of things to make your religion legitimate. You need the Bible, and you need to follow the Bible, the Word of God. That's the only way anybody can do it right, is by paying attention to what God has said in the Bible, as we talked about in Sunday school. You don't need to make up a lot of things that are not true. Here's some of the things that are said about Mary that are not necessarily true. They call, sometimes people say that Mary is the mother of God. No, she's not. God Almighty is eternal, and he does not have a mother. He does not need a mother. Mary is the mother of the only begotten Son of God. That's who she is. That is, God manifest in the flesh. In other words, God Almighty became flesh, and he came down to this earth. He came through the womb of this woman we're talking about. He came through the womb of the Virgin Mary, you see. And so the Son of God needed a mother. He needed that because God became flesh, which is an awesome thing. That's found in 1 Timothy 3:16, that God was manifest in the flesh. So in order for God to become a man, to become flesh, he needed a mother. Another thing that people say about Mary is that you can pray to Mary. It won't do you any good to pray to Mary. She can't hear you. She can't hear you. She's not going to hear you. She's not going to answer anybody's prayers. There's no use in praying to Mary. She is not a mediator. She is not a mediator. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 that there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We cannot let Mary take the place of Jesus Christ, you see. A mediator is someone who stands in the middle. Jesus Christ died on the cross between heaven and earth on a cross. He touched God and he touched man. He was God Almighty, but he was man also, God in the flesh, you see. Mary cannot do that. Mary, her soul is in heaven, but her body is in some grave somewhere awaiting the resurrection. No need for you to pray for her. She cannot hear your prayers. She cannot hear the prayers of, 50 million people, 50 million Christians. She can't do that, see. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says about Jesus that he is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. That's our advocate, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. They also say about Mary that she ascended into heaven bodily. That's called the Assumption of Mary. Not so. There is no such thing in the Bible. As I said, Mary's soul is in heaven. It went there. But her body went into the grave awaiting the resurrection, which will happen someday. Maybe it will happen today, you see. So she's just like all the other Christians who have died. Their body's in the grave, but their soul is in heaven. Some people bow down and worship Mary. Folks, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't worship anybody. You don't worship a person. You don't worship Mary. So that's not something that you ought to do. If Mary were here, she would not accept your worship. She would say, worship God. That's what the Bible says. You're supposed to worship God and not any other person. You are not to do those kinds of things. Worship God only. They also say that Mary is the queen of heaven. There are no queens in heaven. There are no queens in heaven. In the Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 17 to 19, there's a false female deity there called the queen of heaven. But that's what she is, a false female deity, you see. That's all she is. There are no queens in heaven. They also, another thing that people say is that she's a perpetual virgin. No, she's not. She had other children. I'm going to show you that in a little bit here. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7 about Mary that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, you see. She's not a perpetual virgin. If she was, her husband would have to be the same thing. He'd have to be a perpetual virgin too, see. She had other children. And one of my points today, I'll get down to it after a while, is that she was a busy mother because she had other children. We don't want to take anything away from Mary, but we don't want to put her where she's not supposed to be, see. So I want to talk to you this morning about Mary as a mother for just a few minutes. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 28 that the angel Gabriel said to Mary, he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now that's what the Lord thought about Mary. Hail, he said, blessed, you're blessed, you see. And she is mentioned. Mary is mentioned in the book of Luke, book of Matthew and the book of Luke at the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are only two books in the Bible that talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. You've got you've got Gospels, the four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, Matthew presents Jesus Christ as a king, and so the birth of Jesus Christ is given in the book of Matthew. Why? Because Jesus Christ being a king, he has to have the right proper birth and the right lineage in order to be a legitimate king. So he's mentioned in the book of Matthew. But in Mark, Jesus Christ is presented as a servant. And who wants to know anything about a servant's birth? Nobody. So his birth is not given in Mark. But his birth is given in Luke. Why? Because Luke presents Jesus Christ as a man. And so therefore, Luke being a doctor, he gives the most detailed description of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a man's birth, a more detailed account. And he's a king who is a man. And so, but then you've got the Gospel of John. And it does not say anything about the birth of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because John presents Jesus Christ as a king. He presents him as, I'm sorry, Matthew does that, but he presents him as God, the Son of God. Well, God didn't have a birth. God didn't have a birth, so his birth is not given in the Gospel of John, you see. And so his birth is mentioned in those places, and Mary is mentioned there. Mary is mentioned one time in the book of Acts in chapter 1 and verse number 14 where the church is gathered for the day of Pentecost. She's a church member. She's a church member there. That's the last time that she's mentioned in the Bible. You would think about the way some people talk about Mary that she's mentioned in every page of the Bible. That's not so. She's mentioned the last time and not after in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14. Then she's mentioned one time when Jesus is 12 years old. And that's about it. They took Jesus Christ to the house of God. So here's some things about Mary that maybe you have not thought of yet. I want to give you these things about Mary. Number one, why did God choose Mary? Number one, he chose her, listen carefully, for her purity. For her purity. The first thing that you find out about Mary is found in, let me see if I've got it written down here. It is in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 27 and 28. The angel Gabriel came to Mary, and here's what he said. He said he came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. God chose her because of her purity. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. She was a virgin, and God chose her to be the mother of his son. Now, folks, listen. That is a wonderful thing for a woman, a girl, to strive for. But many today, when you mention the term virgin, they scoff at it. That is not anything to be scoffed at. That is a good thing. And that for people to scoff at that, that is an evil thing, you see. But that's something about Mary that God chose her. I would say, I'm guessing from some things that I read, that Mary, I don't have a verse for you. I would say she might have been around 15 years old. 15 years old. That means this. That means when she had the baby, when Mary was standing beside Jesus Christ at the cross, you know how old she was? She's about 48 years old. She's about 48 years old. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and Mary was standing down there by the cross, I believe that God chose her because of her purity. And number two, he chose Mary probably because of her submissive spirit, her submissive attitude. He chose Mary. The angel Gabriel, when he came to Mary, he didn't actually come and ask her. He didn't ask her, would you like to be the mother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel? He didn't come and ask her that. But Mary was willing, and I don't think this. I don't think that Mary was an angry feminist. I don't think she was an angry feminist, you know. I don't think she said to the angel, you know, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me anything. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse number 38, she said this, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, she had a submissive spirit, and she yielded herself to God for whatever his purpose was for her life. A young girl. Why should we have this thing about among teenagers, anybody, boys and girls, where the people have this idea that they are supposed to rebel when they get to be teenagers? That is not right. It should not be that way. Here's a young lady here. I'm not sure how old she was, but she wasn't very old. There is not a speck of rebellion in her heart. There should not be that way. There should not be that way. But on our college campuses, we have young people, boys and girls, who go into these classes, and they are indoctrinated by what I would call left-wing, whatever you want to call them, professors. And so they have this idea that they're supposed to go out and riot and all that kind of church. Instead of being in church and learning the Bible, they're out there doing all kinds of evil things. They're in classroom, and these radical evolutionists are there teaching them things. The teaching of evolution causes, we don't even know all the evil things that the teaching of evolution causes in our society. If people are taught that they're nothing more than animals, then they're going to act like they're animals. That's how they're going to act, you see. In other words, they're taught, get the Ten Commandments out of the school, get the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, get the Ten Commandments out. We're not responsible to any deity. We have to save ourselves. So therefore, they spend their time trying to save the planet. You're not going to save the planet. Forget it. Jesus Christ came to save your soul, you see. But people, young boys and young ladies, spend their time listening to this kind of stuff. Even when I was a kid, I never heard any girls cuss. But now then we have girls with filthy mouths because they have a dirty, filthy heart, you see. It's an awful thing. Sometimes they're worse. They're worse than the boys, and should not be that way. There should not be rebellion from young people or old people or any of us. God Almighty is our Creator. He made us. He fashioned us, and He formed us, and He put us here, so that we might have fellowship with Him. And He wants the best for us. But yet people run away from God. They run away from the blessings of God. Then they'll come dragging back, you know, in a few years, and they'll have to get right with God. Sort of like Manasseh in the Sunday school lesson. He spent his whole life rebelling against God and worshiping idols. Finally, when God put him in affliction, he came back to God. But he only had 5 or 6 years left in his life, and he could not undo all the evil that he had done in his life. Don't do that. God has good things for you. He wants you to bless. He wants to bless you. But if you run away from God, you'll lose out on the blessings. Your life will be ruined, you see. Then people come back. Well, it's coming back. That's better. That's better than nothing. But you see, whenever the angel came to her and said, told her what's going to happen to her, then she said this, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You see, in other words, she had a wonderful submissive spirit about her. The third thing about Mary is her faith. Her faith. She had to believe some incredible things. She had to believe some things that had never happened before, you see. Did Mary pray and wish that she could be the mother of the Messiah of Israel? I don't know. Maybe she did, and maybe she didn't. There's another woman in the Bible, Hannah, and she prayed, and she had a son by the name of Samuel who became a great prophet in Israel, you see. But I don't know where. Maybe all the young girls at that time prayed, "God, I'll be the one. Let me be the Messiah. Let me be the mother of the Messiah." But Mary had to have faith, and she had to believe some incredible things. Look in your Bibles, please. Turn back to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. And read a few verses there. Luke chapter number 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 30. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 30. It says there in Luke 1:30, it says, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." How's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? Because she's already said back over there in Matthew chapter 1, "How shall this be," she said, "seeing that I know not a man? How in the world am I going to bring forth a child since I'm a virgin and I have never known a man? How's this going to come about?" You see, she had to have great faith. She had to believe what God had said, even though this had never happened before. This never happened before in the history of the world. Never going to happen again in the history of the world. That a woman is going to have a child without the benefit of a man, you see. It takes them both. But here it's going to happen with just her, because she's going to conceive in her womb from God. The Word of God is going to be implanted in her womb. The Bible says the Word, capital W, the Word became flesh. This is the way I see it. The Word of God was implanted in her womb and brought forth a child. That's how it happened. You see, verse 31, "Shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Can you imagine? She's going to have a child and he's going to have a throne. That means he's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, you see. She had to believe this. Never happened before. Verse number 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob." You know what that is? That's Israel. He's going to be Israel's king, the house of Jacob. He's going to be that king that they've talked about for so long. He will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. That means he's not going to die. All the other kings, they live a while and then they die. But this king is going to come, reign over the house of Jacob forever. He will never die. Verse Verse number 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this happen? You talk about faith. She had to have some faith to believe what God was saying unto her through the angel Gabriel. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, You want to see the Trinity in the Bible? Look at this verse right here. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in this one verse right here. People say the Trinity's not in the Bible. Sure it is, right there. The angel answered and said unto her, I'm in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, the Holy Ghost, that's one. The highest, that's the Father. And that holy thing, that's the Son, right there. Shall be born of thee and shall be called the Son of God. See, there it is, right there. The angel came to her and he's telling her these things. She's never seen these things before. These things have never happened. Never even heard about them except on the pages of the Bible. For the Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, these very things, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel. That's Old Testament. Which being interpreted is God with us. In other words, God would come down and dwell among men. You see, that's her faith. That's her faith. She should be called the Son of God. Verse number 36, behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is 6 months with her who was called barren. If you don't know, John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins, and they were 6 months apart. They were cousins there. Sometimes God does things in families. He does things in families. The whole family ought to get in on it. The whole family ought to get in on it. When I got saved, none of my family came along. Not a one of them. Still haven't. Never have. Not a one of them. So you see, why did God choose Mary? Her faith. Her faith. She had to believe things that were unheard of except on the pages of the Bible. The Bible says in Micah, and she probably knew, maybe she knew these things. She knew the Bible. She knew the Bible. You know what? You know why she didn't rebel? She's full of the Bible. She's full of the Bible. She's full of the Old Testament scriptures. That's all she had. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. The Bible tells us there in Micah 5:2 that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Said that hundreds of years before it ever happened, you see. Number four, he chose her because she was willing to sacrifice. She had to be willing to leave. I'm not finished with my point. Forgive me, I'm not finished with my point. My point was her faith, and she had to believe things that she didn't understand. I've got one more scripture to look for you to look at. Luke chapter 2. Look in your Bible to Luke chapter number 2 and look at verse number 42. Here's when Jesus Christ was 12 years old. He's 12 years old. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 42. And when he was 12 years old, that is Jesus and his family, that'd be Mary and Joseph and the other kids, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So they're going back after the feast, and they look around, and this boy Jesus, he's not there. He's 12 years old. Anybody in here 12? Do I have anybody 12 today? Got one. Michael, 12 years old. Michael, stand up for a second, would you please? All right. So here's Jesus, and he's this age right here, 12 years old. I don't know how tall he was. I mean, I've got my own ideas, but I don't really know. 12 years old, like this young man right here. Thank you, Michael. Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mothers knew not of it. Read on, verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. See, they're not riding along in a car. They're not riding along in a car in a caravan or something. They're walking, or maybe they've got donkeys or something like that. So they got to turn around. They got to go back to Jerusalem. Verse 46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Look here. Here's Jesus Christ. How'd you like to have to teach Jesus Christ the Scriptures? Do you know that? Do you know Jesus had to learn the Bible? He's a man. He's a boy, flesh and blood. The only difference between the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ and bones is that his flesh is sinless and yours is not. That's why Jesus didn't have to be born again, because he was born again when he was born into this world. That's when he was born, by the Spirit. But you're born with a sinful nature, and so therefore, when you get old enough, you got to be saved and born of the Spirit. But he didn't have to do that. He's born again when he was born, you see. Everybody get that? Verse number 46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. See, when he's 12 years old, he has deep understanding of the Holy Bible. Yet sometimes children grow up in homes of Christians, they don't know a single verse. Therefore, when they get out of school, zip, out they go. Sit your children down. Teach them the Bible. If you don't know it all, teach them something from the Bible. Memorize Scripture. I promise you, those Scriptures, if they will memorize Scriptures, will remain in their hearts. They might save their life. They might save their life. Of all the stupid things that I did when my kids were growing up, one thing I did, I forced them to memorize some Scripture. I don't know if they can quote any of them today. Some of them they can. But they might have saved their life. Verse 46, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father, look at that. She's calling Joseph his father. Thy father, that's Mary talking, that's not Jesus talking. And I have sought thee sorrowing, verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? In other words, why did you seek me? Wist ye not, now look at this, wist ye not, or don't you know that I must be about my father's business? He stopped his mother Mary right there. And he pointed out to her that Joseph was not his father, but God was his father. So therefore he said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Talking about God being his father. That would be a shock to anybody. Back then, now you can call God your father. But before there was a new birth. Until there was no new birth until after the resurrection. They didn't call God their father. Except as a group, a nation. You see, verse number 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He went down with him, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Here's Jesus Christ, 12 years old, God in the flesh, subject to Joseph and Mary. Subject, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Why did God choose Mary? Her faith. She had to believe things that were hard to believe. Do you know there's a lot of things in the Bible that's hard to believe? I believe them all, whether or not I understand them. All of them. Front to back, up and down, everything in the Bible. Even if I understand it or not. If I don't understand it, it's just my ignorance. There's nothing wrong with God, you see. Number four, he chose Mary. I've got to hurry on because of her sacrifice. She had to be willing to leave her home. Did you know that after Herod heard that there's a king born, he wanted to kill all the babies? And he did. He did. So Mary had to be willing to leave and follow her husband. Maybe she wanted a nice little cottage, a little house, you know, on the corner. Little white house with a little white picket fence. You know, she wanted all of that. Maybe she wanted to have a nice little quiet life with her carpenter husband. Her husband, Joseph, was a carpenter. But she couldn't have that. She had to change her plans. I'll just move on. My last point is this. Mary had to be a busy mother. You know how many children she had? She had 7. 5 boys and 2 girls. You can read about that in Mark chapter 6 and verse 1-3. Whenever they say that Mary was a perpetual virgin, no, she wasn't. She had 7 kids. She's a busy mother. How'd you like to be a mother with 7 kids, have no dishwasher, have no electric stove, have no refrigerator, no microwave, no clothes washer, no car, you know, nothing like that. And there's no Walmart down the street. See, now me, I can go to, they built Walmart on our side of town. So see, we don't have to go very far. We have to go 2.25 miles to go to Walmart. Some of y'all have to go a long ways to go to Walmart. See, you got to go 15 miles, don't you, or 16 miles to go to Walmart. See, but she didn't have any of that. She didn't have any of that. She's a busy mother. Jesus Christ was her firstborn son. There were 5 boys and 2 girls. And guess what? They did not believe. They didn't know that Jesus Christ was who he was. They didn't believe Jesus Christ. His brothers, I don't know about his sisters, but his brothers did not believe on him until after he's dead and raised from the dead. They didn't even know that. Growing up there, he kept his mouth shut. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had to have a normal Jewish household. The law, they had the law of Moses. They taught Jesus Christ the Bible. How would you like to have the job of teaching the Son of God, the Holy Bible? That's what she had to do, along with Joseph, her husband. They had to spend lots of time learning the Scripture, teaching Jesus Christ the Holy Scripture, memorization. There were no distractions like TV, internet, phones, and all that junk. I'll be glad one of these days all that stuff will be over and gone. You see, young people curl up in a chair and scroll through some stuff there on the internet and don't learn the Bible. See, I'm not criticizing you. It's just a thing that happens. It's just a thing that happens, and you ought to make sure that it does not happen. Your kids, they're going to leave. So when they get out of school, out the door they're going to go. Many of them, not all of them. That should not be. That should not be, you see. There should be memorization of the Holy Scriptures. That's the only way that Christianity will work. We've got a Bible. We've got a book. We've got the words of God that must be in our head and in our heart, you see. Mothers and dads, spend time memorizing the Bible yourself, memorizing some scripture yourself, and then your children, you see. It'll make the difference in their life. It may save their life. Save them from many, many heartaches. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.